East Perth Power Station is a really significant historic site because it is the Australia's first centralised power station, and it provided all the power for Perth from its commissioning in 1916 through to South Fremantle Power Station coming online in the early to mid-50s. And it's not decommissioned until 1981. As one of the old workers said to me, if the power station stops, then Perth stops. That means the trams stop. That means all the lights and power goes out. It provided an absolutely essential service for the whole of the Perth metropolitan region.
Lenore, what was it like as a workplace? Was it a big employer? And what were the conditions like?
It was a big employer in Perth terms, not in comparison with the Midland Workshops, which had thousands of workers, but at its peak it had about 400 to 450 workers. There were one or two women who worked in the canteen and one or two women who worked as clerical workers, but it's a male worksite, from electrical fitters and mechanical fitters and through to the coal shovellers until 1955, who were day labourers who worked shovelling huge amounts of coal until the coal tippler came in. Even though it was dirty, dusty, dangerous, the sort of place that no one would want to work in now, that was how work was. And they were very proud of their skills. They were really proud of the essential service they provided. The men at the power station tell wonderful stories. In the early days of television, when if they were taking load off, they had to be really very careful, because if a commercial came on between a program that was popular, then everybody would leap up and turn on their electric kettles and the power load would suddenly shoot up. So taking plant on and off was very tricky in the early days of television.
At times when there was high unemployment, was there a case where people would queue up to try and get work here?
During the Depression, during the 1930s especially, the coal shovellers were day labourer. They would queue up at the gate. The people who lived on Joel Terrace, some of the women told me stories of men congregating at the gate to be picked to do coal shovelling for the day, and there would be groups of 30 or 40 men there, similar to what happened at the wharfs, where they would get work for a day. They'd get a week's work, a weekend's work, but they would be desperately searching for work, yes.
There have been many false starts with development of this site. What would you like to see happen, Lenore?
We hope for some sort of public usage. There have been all sorts of false starts. There have been plans for hotels and performance spaces, and it almost was the new headquarters for the WA Museum, and then that didn't happen. So what we're hoping is a restart into some public usage at its centre, and then outside in newer buildings, commercial, retail and private usage.
My name's Neil Byrne. I started work at the power station as an apprentice mechanical fitter on the 3rd of May 1951. When I started in 51, the place was, you could almost say, a madhouse. Everything was go, go, go. The whirring of the turbines, the hissing of steam, you felt as though the place was alive. I think all of us, we were proud to have worked here. Certainly over the years I was there, there was times when there was a suggestion that we should be taking industrial action. But there was that sense of responsibility that everyone had, a little bit akin to the culture in the nursing and teaching professions, where we've got to be responsible. That would ultimately be the position that workers took. We all felt that we were doing something important.
Those early days in 51, was it dirty, dusty work?
Dirty, dusty, wet, hot and cold. Depends on whether you were out on the jetty pulling up a pump, at 8 o'clock in the morning, it was freezing bloody cold in the middle of winter. But then you could have been around the boiler, and where it was well over the 100 degrees, or even though they were insulated, and you were boiling hot, sweating, almost invariably covered with dust and muck. You were that dirty by 9 o'clock in the morning on Monday that your overalls couldn't get any dirtier by the rest of the week.
What was the job here that you didn't want to do? What was the toughest gig for a young worker?
You've been reading the book. What was called the filler pit was a hole in the ground near the A station boilers, below the coal elevator, which was a link conveyor of buckets which collected the coal that shoveled from the trucks down a chute into this hole. That hole was about 10 foot, 8 or 10 foot deep. There was a rickety wooden ladder went down. It was that black that you could only see the whites of the eyes of the bloke who worked there and his teeth if he grinned at you. And Percy Tyler was the bloke's name. And I don't know how he ever stood it. It was noisy. It was wet and slimy down there. And, of course, there was black coal and dust everywhere, depending on whether it was hot or in the winter. And it was just not a desirable place. But it was where the foreman might discipline someone who did the wrong thing and say, there's a job down the filler pit. And you knew you were in the in the newer with the foreman.
How has East Perth changed since you finished up here? Obviously, we can see the Windon Bridge heading over the river there. We've got a bicycle path along the front here of the power station. It's very different from those days.
It's clean. It's neat. There's virtually no air pollution. The old power station had pumped an awful lot of coal and smoke and dust out of the main stack. Every Monday, we're led to believe the SEC got lots of phone calls from housewives complaining that you ruined my sheets. My personal white sheets are now covered in black soot.
So you wouldn't want to be sitting where we are when they fired up those turbines?
No, because when the afternoon sea breeze came in, where we're sitting, we would cop the lot.
Now, there is a lot of talk about the future of this site. What would you like to see happen here, Neil?
This was a people place. It was important to the people who worked there, and it needs to represent what its past history was. If this site was something like a museum, well, people could come there, and in doing so, the history that we've produced would be available as an interpretation of what this site was about. And that heritage then lives on.